Oh shoot, I forgot. Okay, we're recording now. So I met with a gal last night who was considering doing the business, and she was just in a quandary. I don't really know what to do with my life. I really need to earn some money. She's had doTERRA in her house for like 9 years, but doesn't really use the products. And so I was asking her, what is it that you love to do? What's your passion? And she was like, I just love to talk to people. And I love when I meet people to sit in the question, why did the universe bring us together? What is it that I have to give to them and what do they have to give to me? And she's like, I love to coach people. I love to help them, fill their potential and really, break through whatever it is. And she's like, that's what and I just love to talk to people. And I was like, everything you just described to me is all we do in doTERRA. Like, it's so simple and so it's the best job that I can imagine. And I told her that. I was like, I pinch myself that I get to do what I do, and doTERRA actually pays us for it. So it was really cool to see them light up and find that possibility of being able to create an income through doTERRA and love their life. Because the alternatives they were looking at were pretty grim, and not very connected to her sense of purpose and life mission. So I guess that every time I have one of those meetings, it just reconnects me with my love, my gratitude, and my passion for doing what we do. We get to empower homes, we get to raise leaders, and have a party while we're doing it.
I just love it. So good. And I think to just echo what you're saying is like, it's not like for 6 years you guys just been hanging out. It's still been working. And like to maintain a team requires its own effort, let alone like the growth of it. So, but
Totally.
you're just part of great work. And it's like, what do we get to do every day? And I think sometimes it's being reminded of falling in love with the process.
Yeah.
Right? Like you and I have talked a lot about that as we all are clear, like, hey, I want these goals, I want these outcomes. I want this rank. I want this income. I want, this kitchen remodel or this new home or this travel or retiring a spouse. Or I want these things. And it's really good to know like what you want. Like it's a beautiful part of your creation. And just as important is to be clear on the process, like the pipes and like what are the daily, weekly, monthly actions and being in love with the process of that too is like loving the connecting with others, loving helping, mentoring others, helping. People move forward, watching someone's face for the first time again and again, experience an oil for the, their first time. And just being in love with that process, that's also what you can control, right? And many moons ago, I worked for Stephen Covey's brands, Franklin Covey and the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, one of my classic all-time best recommendations of great content. And I just, it's focusing directly again, like what can you control? What can you proactively be about? How you're going to choose to show up. And being in love again with the process of saying, okay, this is what it is that it's about. Like, that's my circle, as he would call it, his circle of influence versus your circle of concern is like, what can I influence? And for all of you to be asking yourself that question, I'd be writing that down. What can I influence? What's in my circle of influence? And those are things like working on your mindset, your personal growth, taking the product. Living the product, nourishing people, calling, connecting, hosting, following up, like all the things that's in your circle of influence that you can. And so I just love this. I'm just, of course, because we've been friends this through this journey from Blue Diamond. Like that's kind of, oh, I'm just realizing that. That's when we first crossed paths. It's when you were Blue Diamond the first time.
Full circle.
So this one represents that one. This one. But is that's when we first started coaching together, watching this journey of from blue to presidential to then double diamond to this, like it's just been cool to be part of the journey and getting to watch and see the growth. So anyway, I'm thrilled about it. And I wanted us to share it here today for sure, because one, it's great to celebrate, but there's so many gems tucked in it that the celebration is so fun and we get to soak that in. And looking at the pieces that create the outcome, I think is really worth all of us being reminded of.
Totally. That reminds me of a gal I was coaching a week ago. And she was like, how do I get the energy back? My team is just flat. And at the end of the day, each of us is the leader of our team. And that makes us responsible for the energy of our team. So, you know, everything you're saying about falling in love again with the process, falling in love with the product again, like it's just like a marriage. It doesn't maintain itself. You're the one responsible for your good feelings towards it. So, so own it and love it. And, that love will be contagious. It'll spread through your team. So, good times.
Yay. All right.
We need to plan a party.
Yeah. I think we need more than one though.
Yeah. It is double blue. Okay.
We're not just going to grab an ice cream cone for this.
This one might take In-N-Out and ice cream. So big time.
Never mind.
Oh, good fun.
Vehicle, but I don't know if that's the time or the place. Andy and I have little ways that we kind of, you know. So, but let's do some coaching because
I'm next. I love it. So if you've got a question, we would love to bring you on live. So in Zoom, just raise your hand and we'll know that means that you want to ask a question live. You can turn your video off if you choose. Or you can just post a comment in the chat box. And those are your options today because Facebook Live is not giving us back the love. So who wants to start us off?
And if you're here, today's the day, my friends, because we'd love to support you and you've got the time and the space.
Double power. Oh, Paulette's raising her hand, so let's bring her in. Here we go. Okay, Paulette, can you hear us? Hi, can you hear us?
Good morning.
Hi, how are you, Paula?
I can hear you. I awesome. Am great.
Welcome.
Sorry about the lighting.
No worries. Welcome.
Thank you. So I caught a little bit of what you were saying there, Tiffany, and I thought, okay, that's spot on for what's kind of on my heart and mind this morning. So I've been going through the 12-week year. I don't know if you're familiar with that. Uh-huh. And I know some of the things you were saying, Tiffany, was kind of aligns with that 12-week year program. But anyway, one of the things that I am finding for me that I'm struggling with is just that I am so easily distracted, really struggle to stay focused, and I'm looking for some practical ways to kind of eliminate distractions. And obviously there's many of the distractions. I don't feel like there's many that I can eliminate, but just some practical ways that I can help to stay focused on the things that I need to do on the business building activities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tiffany, what would you share on the principle of focus?
Yeah, let me ask, what's your biggest distraction?
I'm sorry?
What would you say is your biggest distraction? Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you. It's hard to say. I'm just thinking. I think my biggest distraction is just all the thoughts running through my mind. And then I have to stop and just the way I process thoughts, I guess, and the time that it takes me to process information.
Yeah. I think for me, I think a lot of times the distractions can come in lots of ways. Sometimes it's like you're saying, my thoughts, lots of ideas. Sometimes it's technology, right? Like when I'm feeling really kind of scattered, I get really intentional about my technology use, right? Like I have a scheduled time when I check email, a scheduled time when I'm on social. And then it's like, and then I basically break up with my phone when I'm not in that time block. And that may not be for you, that may not be a thing, but I just know for many of us, one of our biggest distractions is we can be tethered to our technology, which is constantly bombarding us with information, right? And so literally, like Andy knows this, that most of 99% of the time, my cell phone is on complete silent. I don't get a buzz, I don't get a ding. If I'm expecting a call, right? Or like coordinating something and I'm waiting to hear back on something, then I will just flip my ringer on, but just for that small time. 99% of the time, my phone's completely silent. I also heavily believe, just because we're talking technology for a minute, is all of you should turn off your notifications from any kind of social media, right? Go to settings, turn them all off. You do not need to be notified every time someone likes a photo or sends you a message, right? I mean, it is so key that it's like you take your life back. And so if your technology, because for me, it's like technology, I might be here with you right now, but if I'm not aware and like my phone's on and buzzes me or you know, whatnot, and someone else is messaging me about something else, now I'm not present with you. And I've got 18 doors open in my brain between like I'm here with you, but then I've got Instagram open or Facebook and then my email and then my text and then 18 different text threads happening. You know, it's just really easy to allow where I'm allowing myself to regularly be just barrage with information, and every time it's like opening a new window. And when you have too many windows open, you slow the whole system down, right? And so you have to close out those tabs to be like, okay, how do I create intentional blocks of time where you know what you're doing? And knowing, being really clear, like there's really not a multiple core priorities. There's a handful of core priorities. Connection is 100% all of your business priority, is that you're connecting with your existing leaders or existing enrollments, and you're connecting with people you're nourishing or going out to meet new people, a combination of nourishing who's already here and then nourishing new contacts. That's the basic level of this business, right? Now there's various ways we look at that. Like you might pick a day a week that you're doing mentoring, and you have different mentoring spots with the people that in your organization that are choosing to build, or you might do a once a week call where you're educating on oils or mindset or a combination of both, right? That you do something of that nature. But this, that you have intentional time blocks where, when am I doing what? And what are the core priorities that need? What's the fuel that needs to get in the tank every day? The seeds nourished in the garden every day, right? The chopping wood and carrying water. And so making some of those decisions, Paulette, I find the biggest aspect of this is you're a smart woman. You're not lacking information. What most of us are lacking are decisions and boundaries. And I'll be that bold, is we're not lacking knowledge. We're lacking, do I have a decision? Like, what are my office hours? When am I on my email and social? Or am I just constantly letting my phone and letting my, you know, distractions and those notifications pull me back in, and I'm texting at all times, right? Like, I get we've turned into a pretty immediate society, but that doesn't mean you have to choose that. Is you can still have that, but having some decisions and then having some boundaries on when am I doing what? What's my office hours? When do I, you know, respond and so forth? I know that can sound a little intense, and it's just meant to be for clarity, really, is just empowering you to make some decisions around that. So if you're saying, I have all these thoughts, well, then get those thoughts on paper. Put up a flip chart piece of paper. What are all the things I'm worried about or thinking about? You can just, you know, brain dump that. And then you look at it and go, great, where do these clusters come together? Because some of them are in families. Like, okay, I need time to work on my home. I need time for my family. I need time for my personal, and I need time for my business. And you go, great, I have these four key quadrants, or maybe it's two, or maybe it's three, or maybe whatnot. But you go, a handful of these, and then you go, great, where does that live in my calendar? Where does that live in my life? And when do I get to think about, and when do I get to focus on that aspect? I think that for us, it will help us so much more. Now, granted, life doesn't always work to a perfectly orchestrated calendar. Even if it's, you know, perfectly mapped out, if your, you know, 4-year-old comes in off the trampoline with a broken arm, you're not going to be like, oh, okay, honey, but I'll come back at 4 o'clock because that's when I'm back in family time. Of course not. Like, you're going to adjust to the moment of what's happening, but let that be the rare, not the norm, meaning that we're just, that we don't have, do we have any kind of intention to our calendar and to our guidelines? Those are some thoughts. There's a couple of videos too on my YouTube channel if you want to go check those out around time management, around planning or focus that you can find there as well if you want to go deeper on some of those things. But Andy, what would you say to this when you feel like you really have a lot of distractions, whether in your brain or externally? Like, how do you help get yourself focused?
Well, distractions are probably the single greatest competitor. Like, our competitors are not other network marketing companies. It's not other oils. Our competitors are Netflix and Facebook and like the myriad of other things that people could be doing. So just a hearty amen to everything Tiffany shared. I think going back to the pipes, we can, if we're not careful, we can hover in the first P of prepare indefinitely, right? Because personal development and planning and making your names list, like, you could literally spend your life there and your business will go nowhere. So I would just maybe draw some boundaries around the prepare and say, okay, I'm not going to do more than 30 minutes or an hour per day. I mean, depending on how much time you have, right? If you have 8 hours a day to dedicate to doTERRA, then maybe an hour is okay. But if you've only got 2 hours a day to set apart for doTERRA, you know, give prepare 20 minutes and then make sure that you're launching into the IPE, which is where the action happens, right? This is where we connect with people, where we find out their needs and we build the bridge of how doTERRA meets those needs as we present and enroll. So I would say, just like Tiffany was saying, just get better at boundaries. And that's actually the kindest thing that you can do yourself. I used to look at my calendar and hate when there was appointments in there and think, you know, this calendar is running my life. But then I had to remember, I made this calendar. Like, I'm the author of my life. I get to choose how I spend my time. So I don't know what blocks you might have around having a calendar or having clear parameters and boundaries, but those are some of the sorry, what were you saying?
I said, yeah, it's like, I love planning. I love calendars. You know, I love all that, the preparation kind of stuff, and making the list and getting the information. You know, that's kind of my, when I'm in my zone. So you're definitely right about setting boundaries around the prepare portion of pipes. And I think that's where I have found my stuff, like Tiffany likes to say. I've built a house there in the prepare mode.
Right.
With distractions for me, it's not so much technology, I don't think. Now, when I, like, if I get on Facebook or on Pinterest or that kind of thing, then yeah, I can get consumed and spend hours on there. But I typically don't, I've kind of set some boundaries there for myself now that of even getting on. Because I know once I get on, it's really hard for me to get back off. Because one thing leads to another thing. You know, one idea leads to another idea. Mine's more around things that I feel like I can't, distractions I feel like I can't ignore. We raised dogs for service. My husband's an Army chaplain and also a veteran liaison over all community mental health and substance abuse for the state of Michigan. And so his job is like huge and takes him all over the state and beyond. And a lot of times, while that's his job, for me, one of my biggest goals in life is just to be the best helpmate that I can be for my husband. And so when he needs this, that, or the other to help him, you know, to kind of support him, I do that. So when he is home, it's like, I want to be fully present. When he says, hey, I'm going, you know, I got a 2-hour trip here. Do you want to go with me? That's where I find it's like he's on vacation this week, which isn't really a vacation for him. I find myself not doing, you know, it's like I just started this 12 weeks, and one of my three big goals is to hit the rank of premier. And I've been in doTERRA for 6 years, and I've never moved beyond elite. And I know part of that for me is that I've been treating it like a hobby. And I realize I have to treat it like a business. If I'm going to reap the financial rewards that I'm looking for. And then I feel like I need, and one of the biggest things I feel like I need is to grow this business. It's kind of twofold. There's a lot of emotional reasons personally to feel like I can do something, that I can accomplish this. And kind of be my own person. And then also to be that support. We had to get another vehicle yesterday, and then that puts us in a financial bind. So now it takes me back to that battle of, I want to do this, but also I have to do this. Forgive me if I'm bouncing around.
No,
if that makes any sense of what's kind of going on mentally for me.
Yeah. It sounds like where you are right now is trying to straddle a few different worlds. You're straddling, you know, being a wife, which is, it sounds like your primary focus, but also raising dogs and your doTERRA business. So it sounds like you've answered your own question. Is doTERRA a hobby or is it a business? And if I want business results, I need to treat it like a business. So one of the questions I like to ask myself is, if I were an employee for doTERRA and my only job were to basically build to the next rank, would I still have my job? Like, could I honestly say that I'm doing my job? And when we treat it that way, I think it's a lot more clear how we're doing. And it's another way to self-assess. The irony there is that the reason most of us do businesses like network marketing is because it's not a job. And so most of us have some form of, you know, aversion to jobs and to working for the man. But at the end of the day, it's all about results. And if you want business results, then think of yourself like an employee and ask yourself, if somebody had to be paying me a monthly salary, would I still have a job? So I love how you've led yourself to your own answer of, is this a high enough priority that I can delegate out some of the dogs, or you know, I can make an agreement with my husband, you know, when he's on the job, which it sounds like he's on the job a lot of the time, can I give my focus and energy to this? What's that?
It's, yeah, pretty much 24/7. His phone is attached to his hand.
Right.
That's where I say technology for him, you know, is kind of his lifeblood, goes with him everywhere. So,
right.
For me, I can turn it off as far as the technology goes.
Uh-huh.
Some of it is, I realize I look for distractions sometimes to avoid doing the things that I know that I need to do. I see you raising your finger there, Tiffany.
Well, she just told the truth. So
yeah.
We can all relate to that. Thank you for having the courage to say it, right?
Yeah.
Like, your issue is not if you're smart enough or driven enough. My sense is you just haven't really made a decision.
Yeah.
You're with this, you're flirting with this, you're not committed. And that's
I love that. You're
taken as
with this.
Right? And you don't need to take that on as any kind of guilt or shame. It's just like, the beauty is you're in a new spot today. And it's technically, you know, like 2 days ago, we're like, literally to me, it feels like New Year's again. We're at a midway point of 2019 and new goals, new creation. But it's like, it's just making a decision. And even if your decision is, I just want to flirt with this. I just want to tinker with it and play with it. And then you don't hold yourself to this space, but it's like, honey, if you want this to grow and if you want income from it, which sounds like your motivation for what, you know, ebbs and flows, but it will require you to face some of your discomfort and your discomfort around how am I going to look? How am I going to seem? What are people going to think? You know, what about this and that? You know, all the things, but it's just a decision and it's okay. Like flirting's fun, but flirting's not going to get you, you know. It's like we tinker with something and I get it. There's plenty of things I tinker with, but it's just making a decision and then deciding. And we say to Andy's point, that was really great. It's like, if this was my job, you know, what are my must do's every day? My non-negotiables every day. Not if I feel like it, not if I get around to it, right? Like if Facebook Live works later today, I'm scheduled to do a Facebook Live workshop. So we'll see if that happens. But, you know, one of the things that I have prepared, I'm going to share that. I had the opportunity to meet someone that I just have massive respect for in the last few months, a gentleman named Les Brown. He's a fantastic African-American motivational speaker. I mean, he's been in the business for decades and just, he's an amazing man. And when I got to hear him speak live in Phoenix a few months ago, got to meet him, he said something to me that was so like simple but mind-blowing. And he said this statement where he said, do what you know, not what you feel. And if we only follow through when we feel like it, you're not going to see the results that you want. I just made that nicer, Andy, for family.
Oh, censor. That was on the fly censoring. I was flying up trying to find the mute button, but...
Black box goes over my mouth for a minute. But, you know, and it's true for myself. You guys, I'm not saying that out of a place of judgment. I'm just calling us all, myself included, to the truth, which is you need to make some decisions. And even if the decision is, I just want to treat this like a hobby. There's nothing wrong with that. And I just want to tinker with it and make some oils and occasionally share and occasionally sign someone up. Cool.
Love it.
Right? Or I really want this to grow and I'm serious and here's my office hours and here's my activities and my non-negotiables and that I follow through, because this is, you know, my livelihood for me and my family. I want to be counted on for this, and or this is part of my purpose. I feel called to it. I feel drawn to it. Like, that's a really important thing for us to consider, is like, if this is truly something you feel like is a purpose for you, you know, can bless other people's lives, you feel called to it. That doesn't mean it has to be 50 hours a week. So somewhere in your mind, it might feel like, well, I either tinker with it, or it's my whole life and I mess up my whole family system and all of that, because I know that matters to you, as I'm glad it does. Rather than just saying, no, here's my 20 hours every week, or my 15 hours, or my 30 hours, or my 10 hours, or whatever the time is, but here's my non-negotiable must do. I'm in that garden, and that's what I'm out doing. So anyway, I'm off my soapbox.
I love it. Thank you so much for your question.
So good.
And wishing you all the best.
Thanks, Paulette. Big
hi
to you. Thank you for the courage.
Thank you.
All right. We have Jody with a question. Let's bring Jody on. Okay, Jody, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can.
Awesome. How can we support you today?
I just think that I'm a self-sabotager, and I know it. For example, I find myself getting into a groove and getting kind of motivated, excited, and I'll do all the preparation of whatnot. And then, you know, it could be that I have a fight with my kids or something like that. And then I think, oh, well, it's just because they're, you know, kids and they just drive me crazy. But then I realize, like, actually, I don't think it's necessarily them. I think it's me, you know. Sorry.
You're great. So what do you think the what's the fear around doing the work or getting the results of doing the work?
I don't know. I mean, I think I do, but I don't. I think obviously it's a fear. We reached platinum, what, 2 years ago, haven't reached it since. I think that it's a fear that I'm not capable of even leading a platinum team, let alone a larger organization than that.
And what would that mean to you if that were true, that you couldn't lead a platinum or larger organization?
What do you mean? What would it mean to you if I couldn't?
Yeah, like what, why is that, what does that mean? Like, why is that so emotionally charged that maybe you can't?
I think that through experience, not necessarily my own as far as leading, just in other experiences, that it's like once you reach that certain level, like a diamond and above, and I know that this isn't true for all, again, this is just experience, that you just get, I don't want to pass my team by. I don't want to have the existing team that I have that I'm working with and get to a larger organization and then just drop everyone, and how to be able to create that culture that everybody's being nurtured, that everybody's being taken care of. Not that I feel like I have to take care of every single individual on my team, because I know that's just not even physically possible, but to make sure that all, you know, those needs are met in the capacity that they need to be, that you know, that it is up to me as a leader to be able to lead that kind of an organization. If I just can't see, again, I guess it's just through experience, how, this, I'm trying to think of how to say this in a safe way without, It's just hard for me to know how to be able to nurture. I feel like I already struggle nurturing the team that I already have. And I guess I fear that if I grow more, that's part of it. How am I going to be able to nurture everybody? How am I going to be able to lead a bigger team when I don't even feel like I can already lead the team that I have?
So what I'm hearing you say is like leading has a lot of baggage with it, because it means that you're responsible for even more people, and nurturing has this heaviness for you. Like it's your job to carry them and to meet their needs. And does that sound right?
Yeah. It does. And you know, and I do think that a lot of it stems, or a lot of it too, again, going back to the self-sabotage thing, is just, you know, I think that I find myself just being comfortable and, you know, just where I've always been in my life, making the certain amount of money that I've always made, and having a desire to grow and to make more, but it's like, it's a safe zone, you know. It's a safe zone for me to be where I'm at. And I know that I can live off of what we make already, but we really don't need any more. It would be nice if we had more, and nice if we could do more for community, for, you know, making changes and such. But at the same time, I know for me, it might be a money issue. I don't know if that even is it, but yeah, it's like, I'm comfortable where I'm at. And so it's trying to imagine being able to go up into those upper levels, even maintaining a platinum organization and more than that, to be able to have the level of income that it provides. It's desirable and I want that, but at the same time, I know that I'm comfortable where I'm at. And so I find myself blocking myself from being able to achieve it. Anyway.
Yeah. So I think there are a lot of people who can relate to how you're feeling. I talk to a lot of people who say, I never want to go anywhere past, you know, gold or platinum, because I don't want doTERRA to own my life. I don't want it to completely take over, you know, like, I can't think of an analogy, but like a virus or a, you know, this monster that just rules everything and crowds out my family and crowds out my marriage. And so I totally get the fear that you're associating with rank advancing, because to you, advancing in rank is synonymous with having to manage more people, having to nurture them, having to be responsible for them and their growth. And that is a heavy, hard, sucky feeling. So congratulations on getting to the core of why you're stuck. I don't know many people who willingly walk into the swamp or walk into a line of fire, because that's what rank advancing feels like to you.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh.
Some people make it so easy.
Say that again?
I said, some make it look so easy. And then I see that, you know, but I've seen the struggles that others have, you know, that rank advancing and building a business and the ups and downs, which there's always going to be ups and downs, ebbs and flows. They all happen. And I've loved doing this in the almost 8 years that I've been with doTERRA and with everyone that I've been with. But I have, just on the outside, observing many of the struggles that some reach when they hit those higher ranks. And I'm like, I don't know if I want to do that or not. But at the same time, in my heart, I know that I do.
Tell me about your relationship with control.
Oh, that's a good question. I honestly don't feel like I'm someone who has to have control. Like, oh, I don't know if that's true. I don't know. That's a good question. I've had this come to my thoughts in the past is like, where am I at as far as control goes? Because I guess I'm someone who likes things to be in control, but not be controlling. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So when things get messy and, you know, scary, I feel like I need to hurry up and patch it back up so it stays in control. But again, I don't feel like I'm a controlling person. Like I know I'm not controlling like with my team members. I'm not controlling with my children. I'm not controlling to my husband. And I like things to be in control, but I don't like to control everything. Like it has to be like this or how, you know, just so. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So you don't want to control people, but you want to control outcomes.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it, I suppose. Because so, when it gets messy or if it gets scary or things aren't going the way that maybe I should, and I think that it's a depending on the situation, I suppose. Some situations like it is what it is, but then, you know, but yeah, anyway, I think it just depends on the situation. But it gives me massive anxiety if things aren't looking the way that I would hope that they, like, it's scary to drop rank, you know, it's a scary thing. Like you get there, you try to get there, and then you just feel such a failure when you're not staying there.
I hear you. It's so easy to attach value to a rank because it represents all the work you've done. So to drop in rank can feel like I'm worth less now. Like I couldn't hold it together. I'm not made of the right stuff. So I don't know where you're at with your belief system, but I'm going to tell you a little story that's significant to me. There was a man named Jesus who came strolling into a town called Jerusalem, and it looked like he was going to be the king of Jerusalem and the king of the world. And so everybody threw down palm leaves and threw down their clothes and celebrated this King of Kings. And a week later, he's hanging on a cross with his mother in a pile of tears and all of his apostles and all of his followers scratching their heads saying, "What the heck happened?" So if you believe that Jesus is who he said he was, the question is, was he in control? With his murderers and enemies on every side, and he is in the process of dying, was it under control? It was. So that willingness to let things get messy and to look to the world as if they are completely out of control is one of my goals in life. It's a level of surrender and faith that is common in my heroes. So at the end of the day, we get to be in choice about whether we show up in faith, hope, and love, or fear, doubt, and worry. And doTERRA is maybe the best arena that I've found for making that choice over and over again. So your arena is, am I willing to get back up and put myself out there again, even if I can't control other people? Even if I can't control the outcome? Because ultimately, the higher ranks have everything to do with how your team shows up. So are you willing to surrender control and be in total faith? It's a hard thing, isn't it? What's coming up for you?
It's a little bit of a personal matter, but it's significant to what you said. And I'm not sure if here is the place, but I can explain if you would like, but
your call.
A few months ago, we unexpectedly found out that we were pregnant after 10 years. And it shook me to my core that we were going to have another child. And in my heart, I felt God saying to me, lean into me with everything, trust me. So I did, and I, with all my might, even though I was scared, a little frustrated, because I thought my life was going this way, and now it took a change, and I thought, okay, I'm going to trust you, and I leaned in as hard as I could, so hard, and I prayed so much, and I just kept that faith of, like, this is in your hands, this is your call, and I will do what you need me to do. And we continued on that journey. And then 3 weeks ago, we lost the baby. It was 17 weeks along. And once again, I felt him saying, trust me. Lean into me. I've got this. Just trust me with everything that you have. And so as hard as it's been to go through those emotions, I've done everything I can and really trying to build that trust and faith. And so that's why what you're saying to me is very significant, because it's not just, there's many, many things that I feel have come with the experience that I've had for the last few months with this. And I really do feel like he is asking me to trust in him a lot more than I really have ever in my entire life. And, and I see the little things, tender mercies or whatever they may be. I just find myself really giving such gratitude, of more gratitude than I ever have, of just recognizing that he is the one that is in control. He's the one that has it. He's the one that's, you know, making all things possible or not possible. Because even before I lost a baby, for example, I knelt down and I knew something was wrong. There wasn't any indication, but I just felt it in my mom heart, like something was wrong. And I thought, please let everything be okay. I prayed that. And then in my mind, and it must've been, you know, just that thought from him that said, it's okay, but it's okay if the baby's okay, but it's also okay that the baby's not there. And so it was just, like I said, I'm learning to relate a lot of that particular experience, and what you're saying just kind of sets it into stone.
Yeah.
For me. And
anyway. Well, thank you so much for sharing that, and I'm so sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
And there's nothing more vulnerable than getting out of bed in the morning and then choosing to play big in the arena, saying I love you and choosing into a relationship is a huge risk. And it's the only way to get some of the best growth in this life. Choosing to bring a life and a baby into this world is such a vulnerable thing. And it's the only way I know to get some of the greatest life lessons. Yesterday was the 5-year anniversary of when our oldest son blew himself up in the garage. And so we found ourselves in that same space of asking, is this how it's supposed to look? As we're sitting with the doctor and he's telling us to prepare a funeral, you know, that's not the future that we had planned. And it's not the, it was not the outcome that we were aiming for. So we all get to sit in that question. Am I willing to surrender? Am I willing to trust the process and give it over to a higher power? And am I willing for things to look messy? Just like it did for Jesus on the cross when nothing looked like his believers expected it to. So welcome to the arena. It's all about faith and trusting, and that's what leadership is. Leadership is trusting and putting yourself out there, even when you fall flat on your face and maybe you fall back a rank or two, and maybe a leader drops out. We don't get to control other people. And the beauty of life is what happens when we release control and we go into that space of total and complete trust. And my wife uses that phrase, trust the process. Trust the process. And that's, there is a lot of beauty on the other side of trust. Tiffany, what would you share?
Well, I'd share, I think we should probably all gather in person and just have a lot of, and have some good time together. I just want to hug her.
Same. So
I'm hugging you just energetically and sending you so much love. Are you local to Utah?
No, not anymore. I was in Idaho, but I'm in Ohio. I'm in Cincinnati.
Cincinnati. So I, first of all, just hold space for the loss you've been through. You know, that loss is legit, and to honor that. And I loved everything Andy's already walked you through in terms of trust, releasing. I think the only thing I feel strongly to share is just to come back to the light and come back to the love and to the joy. Specifically, I'm not talking about the loss of this baby that you've just been through, but when you're talking about self-sabotage in your business and going beyond, most reasons why any one of you are not going beyond is some kind of fear of judgment or fear of, will I be able to hang with it, hold it? Will I be judged? Will I be enough? Is we all deal with the same universal wound as, am I enough? And sometimes when we think about growth and more and more and more, like platinum to diamond to beyond, is it makes us feel more vulnerable, right? Which Andy was already touching on, that vulnerability. Whether it's a relationship, having a child, growing your business, we're feeling that vulnerability of feeling like we could be more out there and therefore we could be judged or get it wrong or disappoint people or show up short. And so a lot of that is what's really driving the dynamic. And the funny thing about fear, and speaking about, you know, scriptural or spiritual things, that I think it's 365 plus times just in the Bible alone is some rendition of being counseled to fear not, right? Back to trust. But the funny thing about fear is by focusing on fear, it doesn't go away. We focus more on the light. and come back to the joy, come back to loving the process of serving people, putting that light back in your eye that just is like, but practicing that. And that was my only question is, are you regularly or at least frequently practicing your mental, are you in your mental gym very often where you're mentally visualizing and coming, practicing the light and practicing like the love of doing this, right? It's because all the self-sabotage, I get it. I'm a big fan of the big leap. I have my own behaviors with the way I watch myself, like unplug my own lamp is what I call self-sabotage. It's like the light's on and I unplug it. Lights on, I unplug it. It's being gentle and graceful with yourself. You're going to be human. You're going to work on these things, honey. You're going to work on these things. It's not if they come up. It's just that how I want to more consciously or intentionally navigate it. But we don't get rid of the fear by giving fear more attention. We get rid of the fear by giving more attention intentionally to the light and to the joy and loving being of service, loving the mission that you're on, giving yourself permission. But those are all practices. That's why I call it the mental gym a little bit, is that I'm not perfected in them myself. I call it coming home to myself every day. So I got to practice those things. So that was my thought from earlier. What you're sharing is obviously in this immediate season is I would hold the space and the love and the energy for yourself then, but, and as you feel ready to really say, okay, let's show up this way in my business and for growth and versus like, because see the temptation is, and I want you to be very aware of this. I want all of you to be very aware of this is even if you can name what your issue is, right? Like you're saying self-sabotage. Sometimes we get stuck in the circling of the issue, like, oh, I got to get over this issue. I've got all these issues. And we just give all this fuel and energy to that versus, honey, what do you want? Do you want to grow? And if you want to grow, then you go, great. I'm going to work on being in the good and the energy and the aspects of what it is that I'm needing and wanting. And, you know, my chopping wood and carrying water type of things. And so it's just coming back home to yourself, a lot of grace, a lot of love, and then choosing into mentally practicing being in the light and in the love and the joy of why you're doing this business, right? Like I love to remind myself of that, of like, I just love to serve and connect with people. But sometimes I can get all lost in like, where's this at and this piece and that thing and this dynamic. And it's like, I lose the joy. So come back to the joy or come back to the light, which is like, I just want to help more people. And I think you do too. But then we can sometimes be like, oh, I have this big issue. I don't think it's a big issue unless we keep giving it all the energy.
Yeah.
It's not that big of an issue. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, I get tripped up with that. Back to my light lane. Back, get in your lane. Back to the light lane, the love lane. Like, I'm in my purpose. Back to your purpose. Oops, I'm distracted. That's okay. Back in the lane. Oops, I'm distracted. Back in the lane. Oops, I'm in this bait. Back in the lane. And it's just, but no, we all are doing that. Mm. It's just more about consciously choosing to say, no, I'm going to choose to grow and I'm going to choose to give more energy to the light and to the love that we get to create. So thank you for the vulnerability. I send you big love.
Thank you.
As you process all that's going on right now. And thank you for your courage today. It's been beautiful to witness it.
Thank you.
Very much. Thank you so much, Jody. And I just want to add that, we are, all of us in the community, just holding you in so much love and gratitude. some of the first thoughts too that I didn't share. Growing a team does not mean that you're responsible for every person on your team. We have 1.4 million team members. And if I woke up every morning and I thought to myself, I'm responsible for their health and their wellness and their progress in this business, I would have a nervous breakdown. So I just want to open you to the idea that your job, your only job, is to inspire. And you'll do whatever you can to support, but at the end of the day, it's their choice whether they choose wellness. It's their choice whether they choose to share. And so you get to inspire and not be attached to the outcome. Andy. So leadership and rank advancing doesn't have to be hard.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for sharing, Jody. Really grateful for you.
Thank you. Likewise.
Awesome. Well, it looks like we went over time today. So we'll just wrap up and say thank you all for being on with us. Thank you for joining us on the journey. I don't know about you, but it's always healing for me to go to these deep places. We have such a gift to give each other. We have the oils, and we get to hold a space for each other to be real and to be raw and to be made whole. So thank you all for being and holding that space, and we will see you again next week.